Oh. Oh.
Did you fake drink out of that mug?
No, absolutely not. There's water in there.
Oh, there is, for real.
Yeah, of course. So the list goes on.
I heard there were people in New Mexico that died from drinking hand sanitizer. Overdosed on methanol, I guess it is.
If it wasn't, yeah, I'll just say yeah.
Yep. So I want to talk more COVID stuff. So we know that Kevin Owens is sitting out because he's been public about it.
Yeah, he has.
Is there anybody else of note that's sitting out in either AEW or in WWE? I mean, obviously, Moxley had to quarantine for 2 weeks because of Renee. But otherwise, like, say, when I look at SmackDown last Friday, there was no Sonya, no Mandy Rose, no Otis, and they were a key storyline. Is it because they're sitting out or they just didn't have them on the show?
Well, at this point, I don't know who's sitting out and who has COVID. I mean, I know of some NXT people that were sitting out before, but or not necessarily that. They were sitting out the audience, but it's hard for me to determine like who's sitting out and who's got COVID because these people aren't going to come to me and say, "Hey, sup? I got COVID."
Yeah, no, that's not what I meant. I don't really care who's got COVID.
Yeah,
just like who's sitting out, like they don't want to be on the show because Reigns, of what's going on.
Reigns, Zayn, and Owens are the top three.
The top three. Yeah. Okay. So a guy like Otis, who was so heavily featured, they just had nothing for him last week?
I don't know. Oh. I don't know if these people were off TV just to be off TV or if they've got COVID or if they're sitting out because there are so many right now. Look at Monday Night Raw. Ray and Dom were not there. Austin Theory was not there. Randy Orton was not there. AJ Styles was not there last week. There was a lot of people that just weren't there.
Yeah. It was noticeable, too. You know? Okay, and Jacksonville now, they've mandated masks. Have you heard if that means that the guys at ringside on television are going to wear masks? I assume they are.
I haven't, but if I were to wager a guess, I would say that Tony Khan is going to be compliant with whatever the city
I think
asks,
so too.
Because he is in effectively a city-owned building, I think.
Yes, that's right.
So, and he doesn't want to rattle any cages there. He's been very compliant based on all that.
I agree with you. I think he's going to make them do that too. So that's good. Now, Impact Wrestling. So at first, this kind of surprised me, but then when I thought about it, it didn't. So it's being reported that Gallows and Anderson are headed in, and they're going to work for New Japan, most likely, in addition to working for Impact. Initially, I thought, I'm surprised Impact can make the money work for Gallows and Anderson, even though they're not going to be full-time. But then they lost Tessa. They lost Michael Elgin. I don't know who else might
Joey
be on the
Ryan,
outs because
Dave Crist,
Joey Ryan. That's right. So you look at it like, okay, they need fresh talent, and so I guess you got to do what you got to do to get that talent. How do you think Gallows and Anderson are going to do? Because Impact, they just don't really have a footprint in the wrestling scene. There's just so much saturation going on that they're kind of on the lower end. How do you think Gallows and Anderson are going to do?
I think that Shane Helms' tweet yesterday, maybe the day before, was kind of interesting. To me, they're like the only promotion that's gained momentum during this. I've paid more attention to Impact Wrestling throughout this than I was before, and I think they've done pretty well. And they're going, I don't want to say aggressively, but they're doing a lot of work right now in the free agent market, I'm told. I've reached out to several people. I reach out to EC3. I reach out to Eric Young. I reach out to Gallows and Anderson. I've reached out to a lot of people, Sarah Logan even, but I don't think she's going in there, about what their plans are, what they're going to do. And they're all being pretty quiet about it. And I can't get interviews with any of these people. So that leads me to believe they're going somewhere.
I mean, they want to, obviously they want surprises for Slammiversary, and I think Slammiversary takes place right after the non-compete, right?
Yes. Yes, it does.
Okay. So we'll see what happens. I mean, there's going to be a mystery opponent in the world title match, and it wouldn't shock me if it's EC3. They've already been teasing his music. Yeah. So, okay. We'll see what happens with that one. Any truth to reports that Baron Corbin was unhappy with the notion of working a program with Matt Riddle?
I don't know if he was unhappy, but here's what I heard. I heard that Riddle has known about this since March or April, and that Corbin only heard about it when, like, a couple weeks ago. And I did hear the same story about Baron Corbin saying that Riddle needed to beat 5 enhancement talents before working with him. But that could be ball busting. I don't know. But I did hear that same story. This stems from a report from Gary Cassidy of Sportskeeda. This is stuff that I had heard before. I wasn't going to run with it, but I assume that he heard it from a couple other people as well. But yeah, that's what I heard. And I'm sitting there thinking, like, man, you should better make him look good. Because if you don't, like, what happens if Matt Riddle decides to take things into his own hands in that situation?
I don't think he would.
I don't think he would really either. Provoked. But no. If he had to, he probably would.
I mean, if he's put into a corner, if you got no other option but to defend yourself, sure.
And if somebody's being difficult and, like, just not doing the work they're supposed to do.
Yeah, yeah. I guess we'll see what happens. I don't know. I mean, we've talked about Baron Corbin. Obviously, he's a bigger star in his head than he really is. Mm-hmm. But I guess it is what it is. I want to talk some good stuff in WWE because we shit on WWE a lot. At least I shit on WWE a lot. They make decisions that I don't like. And so I'm critical. So let's talk some good things. So first and foremost, I love the fresh matchups that we're starting to see. Like Io Shirai, Sasha Banks. That's going to be an interesting matchup. Riddle and AJ Styles. That was a fresh matchup. There's so much potential for Riddle. You could do Riddle and Daniel Bryan. You can do Riddle and Cesaro. Riddle and Jeff Hardy. Riddle and Braun Strowman would be interesting to me. So all that stuff is very interesting to me. I like that they're giving people opportunities on TV that hadn't been getting it. The Iconics are getting opportunities lately. Peyton Royce's swinging brainbuster. Is that what you call it? A swinging brainbuster?
I mean, it was the curtain call. It was Goldust's finisher.
Oh, it looked way nicer than when Goldust did it.
Well, yeah, it was lower elevations. She did the spin closer to the ground. But yeah, oh, man, great move.
It looked beautiful. Like, and give Ruby Riott credit, too. But it looked beautiful, and I saw that, and I thought, okay, some male talent's got to rip that off in WWE. Doing it the way she did, I thought it looked great, and that was one of the highlights of the week for me. I thought it looked fantastic. I was watching that thinking, give Peyton Royce a singles run now.
They improved significantly during their time off, and maybe they needed that time off because that was the bag on them when they got called up to the main roster. The work wasn't there. The work's been there. The work's been really, really good.
Right, right. What are your expectations for Great American Bash versus Fyter Fest in terms of where do you think the interest is going to lie?
Oh, man. So I'm interested, first off, in Sasha Banks and Io Shirai.
Yes.
Like, that's just there aren't a lot of dream matches that without stakes that make me just go, you know what, I'll watch that. I can't wait for that match. Sasha Banks and Bayley are my favorite act to watch in wrestling right now, period.
Bayley's pretty hilarious. She is.
She's amazing, and I'm really excited. I hope this doesn't get like some crappy DQ or distraction ending. Win them in the ring, lose them in the ring. That's what I'm excited for primarily, but I expect both of these shows to pull out all the stops to one-up each other. I mean, WWE hastily said, Great American Bash next week. Oh, wait, theirs is 2 weeks. The next 2 weeks.
Yeah, yeah.
It was so ridiculous, but I don't blame them. Do it.
No. Oh, I have no problem with it at all. It's business. It's the same thing when they went on USA for Dynamite's first week. I have no issue with it. That's just business, and that's just how it is, and good for them. I mean, obviously, AEW's coming off, I think it was one of the lowest ratings they ever did last week. And so they're looking to ramp. They don't have Moxley this week. This week, I think the main match is Omega and Paige against the Best Friends, I think, is one of the main matches. And Cody and Hager, I think.
Yes.
So we'll see how it goes. I mean, I tend to think there's more buzz with NXT this week.
Yeah, but, I think so, too. I think so, too.
Yeah. All right, that's all I got for you, bud.
Well, I mean, here's the thing, Jimmy. We're sitting at like 9 minutes, 37 seconds. I like to give him a good solid 10 minutes at least, so.
Okay, how about you perform your rendition of Judas for the next 30 seconds?
You mean Judas, the Fozzy song?
That's correct. What did you think I meant?
I don't know.
I don't want you.
Well, look at that. We hit 10 minutes. Until next time, guys, we're out.